Today Jesus invites us, or commands us really, to love as he loves. What does that look like for us? What does it mean to love as Jesus loves? We have to remember that this passage in Scripture today comes from the Last Supper. So this is right before Jesus goes off to the cross. And so when he says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, it's not just a symbolic thing that he's saying. It's not merely words, but it's something he's about to put into action. How is it that our understanding as a culture of what love is has become confused? In some ways, we have forgotten what Jesus told us love is. We have, in some ways, substituted our own words, our own idea of what love is. What is our definition of love? What is your definition of love? What does it mean to love someone? And how do we express that? Jesus tells us that we will have joy when we remain in his love and keep his commandments. His words are, I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Does it give you joy to follow Jesus' commandments? We know that people want to be happy. All of us want that. We know that people want to be joyful. We know that people want to love and to receive love. We also live in a time when our culture, relatively speaking, accepts any kind of lifestyle. We have absolute freedom to pursue almost anything that we really want to in our lives. So if doing whatever we want truly makes us happy, why are there so many people that are struggling, that are sad, that are depressed, that are lonely? Why are there so many people that are broken? If everything is at our fingertips and we are this way, it seems maybe we don't quite understand what we want. Many people are trying to find joy apart from God these days. Many people are trying to find love by doing things that are against God's commandments. Now, if it's true that we find joy by remaining in God's love and following his commandments, then obviously when we depart from his commandments and no longer abide in his love, we actually turn away from what brings us joy. Why do we reject the logic of Jesus? Why, as a culture, have we turned away and no longer trust Jesus' words to us? We have heard Jesus speak to us, but we have not tried the path he offers us, it seems. Maybe you've heard of G.K. Chesterton. He's a convert to Catholicism back in the early 20th century. And he wrote this about Christianity. He said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. Rather, it has been found difficult and left untried. It seems that we so often try to find our own way to find love and joy in the world around us. And if we look at the world, we can see the results of that experiment. We can see that in our culture today. Many people have turned away from God and his commandments. They've gone their own way, and we can see the result. Have you ever been unhappy, even when you got exactly what you wanted? Have you ever had that experience? I think Jesus is trying to make the point that we only experience joy, true joy, when our desires align with God's. In other words, when we keep God's commandments, we find joy. And when we don't keep God's commandments, we can't find joy. It's actually not possible for us to fully be happy apart from God. We can only chase our tails in an endless and ultimately fruitless search and struggle to find that lasting joy. So Jesus indicates that we are slaves when we don't know what he's about, what he's doing. He talks about that in the gospel today. But he also says we are friends when we do understand what he's doing. Thus, it's important for us to understand the big picture of what Jesus is doing. What is he presenting? What is his worldview, if you want to call it that, that he offers to us? The invitation to live a certain way. We need to understand and grasp this worldview which Jesus offers to us. And this is the worldview that the church promotes and strives to give us. It's critical that we grasp this Christian perspective. Otherwise, we will feel like the church is trying to make us feel like slaves. Isn't that often how the world looks at Christianity today? To the popular culture, the Catholic Church seems like she's enslaving people to an old and outdated worldview. And you get the feeling that many people, many even Christians, maybe even Catholics, see the Catholic Church as an obstacle to their happiness, an obstacle to their real love, their real joy. Jesus calls us to a way of living that is not compatible with many of the ideas that our culture promotes as normal or necessary, or even sometimes as human rights. Things like contraception, abortion, the active homosexual lifestyle, the transgender ideologies that we're seeing. The Catholic Church is Jesus' voice in the world, and many people feel like that voice is completely and hopelessly confused about reality. So either Jesus has been mistaken in what he says and teaches, or our culture is mistaken. They aren't compatible in many ways, especially on the moral level and on the way that we're called to live. They can't coexist in harmony. And so we see this around us when we look around the world, I think, right now. There is a battle for ideas. There's a war for what is true. We're trying to assert what is true, what is not true, and how we should live. We see that playing out around us today. So consider this situation. If the voice of the church were to disappear, if the popular culture was able to enact and accomplish all of its goals, legislate all of its laws, and bring about all the ideas that it promotes, what would be the result of that? What do you think? Would society be good? Would we be happy? Would there be prosperity? Would there be true harmony and joy? I think the answer to that is a clear no, actually. If we look and we see what we're seeing right now, popular culture derives much of its current energy from trying to tear down the truths and the institutions which God has established. Who then is behind all of this movement? I think in many ways it's demonic. And although we may not see that directly at all the time, I think there's an undeniable connection. Clearly, the one who glories in the promotion of abortion or all kinds of sexual unions outside of marriage, or the confusion of what it is to be a man or a woman, the incitement of racial tensions, drug and alcohol abuse, sexual perversions that are promoted by pornography and all other kinds of activities, fear-mongering, the replacement of true education with merely an agenda-driven narrative. All of this chaos is the fruit of us as a culture, as a people, rejecting God's commandments. Modern society promotes all of these things in the name of freedom, in the name of human rights. These are all said to be normal and not only to be tolerated, but to be promoted, protected, and even fostered, even forced upon those who would not want to follow them. So how free is it then when no other perspective is accepted? What are the fruits of this so-called human rights movement? We see the destruction of the family. We see human trafficking, addictions of all kinds, abuse of all kinds, depression, suicide, mental illness, infertility, poverty, lawlessness, a self-hatred sometimes, a listless lack of understanding of who we are and what our purpose is, and the list could go on. So it seems we as a society are refusing to see the connection between our rejection of God and His commandments and the resulting chaos that ensues. Why are we blind to this? I think to some degree it's because we have in our minds that to be free, we have to reject God. That narrative is out there in the world. We can't be happy if we follow God's commandments. This is the same argument, the same demonic attack and trap that we fell into with Adam and Eve, we're still falling into the same trap. Now, if on the other hand, society were able to be organized the way that God invites us to live by His commandments and how God tells us to live, if we lived in that way, we would see, I think, an order, principles which the church has championed would come out. There would be, I think, an immediate and perceptible change in how we live as a society. Now, it's hard to imagine that right now because we're not seeing that. What a different reality that is from what we're seeing today. People would experience sincere joy and love. And that is what it is to remain in Jesus and to keep His commandments. Why is it so hard to believe that God asks us to do something that's going to help us to find joy, to find love, to find happiness? Why are we so hesitant to surrender to the will of God and keep His commandments? Why are we so afraid of laying down our lives? Jesus has laid down His life for us. So in the end, we find ourselves with this question: do I trust in Jesus? Do I trust you, Jesus? Do I follow you? Or don't I? We either live the life He invites us to live, or we walk away from it. Looking at our society, it is pretty clear that the fruit of living apart from God's commandments is not a good place to be. It's not attractive. It's not a happy existence. It's not a life of joy. Have we seen what it is to live according to God's commandments? Have we seen that in our time? I think we've seen glimpses, right? The lives of the saints help us to see this. They help us to see an alternative way of living. In every age, there's been those men and women, those saints, who go before us and show us what it is to follow Jesus and what the fruit of that is. It's not necessarily an easy way to live, but it's a life of joy, a life of true love, a life of true happiness. And we can't deny the substantial difference of living apart from God or living in union with God. We have to begin to open our eyes to this reality and to see the stark contrast between what God offers us and what the world does. And remember that much of what is currently being promoted in the world comes from the lies of Satan, which we have accepted on some level. So today Jesus reminds us that there is a way out of this chaos. There's a way to remain in His love. There is a path to joy. This path comes through a life lived according to God's commandments. Jesus leads us to Himself. We heard in 1 John today, "Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as expiation for our sins." So, brothers and sisters, we either receive what God invites us to live, or we reject it. The choice is ours.